Before I begin, I would like to tell you what an honor it is to be here. I hold this church deep in my heart. I have been here over the decades for many things, for presbytery meetings, for PW conferences. I have been with Bill. Phil and I work together, as you heard him say. He is critical right now to our presbytery and has been for many years. I have friends here with you. And having this opportunity to take just one more step in the understanding of Jesus and our faith due to the parables has been a time of study, reflection, and prayer. So thank you very, very much. The first scripture is from Matthew chapter 13, and it's only one verse. It's a complete parable, only one verse. Listen to the word. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Words of wisdom, words of grace. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we take nothing for granted. The ability to listen to music, to have musicians right by our side, to be inside, to be at our own homes, to be worshiping together in so many different ways. Thank you for this time. May we hear the word and bring joy to your entire being. Amen. Shadow Hills Presbyterian Church just finished their rummage sale last night at 5 p.m. Shadow Hills, just a giddy up down the hill from this location, sitting right across from an equestrian center. Shadow Hills, your sister church and part of the San Fernando Presbytery. Your church knows about sales. You have a semi-annual yard sale, perhaps next up this October. Rummage sales share ideals of Christian stewardship. We are responsible for all we have and using it as needed. If our homes have items that we don't use or need anymore, they are to be shared with others. When a congregation prepares for their sale, they check their shelter for rummage. Rummaging is searching, investigating, either in a haphazard or a very disciplined manner. The outcomes are extraordinary. One can find items long lost that can be enjoyed by the searcher. Items can be found long since forgotten in the household, but readily shareable to others in the community. A box of brand new turquoise envelopes. A well-used, beloved Yahtzee game. A stand of mugs, 4 in a row, brand new with images of candy corn. Or a bracelet, neglected in a drawer, that can bring joy to a child. When the doors to the sanctuary open and the parking lot and courtyard are full of items, all lovingly arranged, then the masses can come and for a small price take home a treasure and enjoy what once was hidden, lost in the back of a closet. Yesterday, I was cashiering, which is a great honor because you get to speak with people. You get to see the things they have chosen and hear their reasons why. I met with a woman named Gabby, and she had 4 items that she was buying. 2 platters about this size, a bowl, and then this dish, we were debating what it was. It was on a little pedestal at about this round. You probably know what it was for, maybe candy or desserts. We really weren't sure. This, she told us, pattern was her grandmother's, and it reminded her of all the times they shared a meal together, just as we are going to share a meal together. She also shared that her father had just died and left her a small inheritance. Because she had that small inheritance, she was able to spend the $20 to buy this platter, another platter, the bowl, and the candy dish. It was a meaningful encounter. And that is the kind of examples that you will find and have found when you are meeting in your community. There is power in the movement of a congregation. Whether coming to worship on a Sunday morning, attending a Bible study on justice, praying for interfaith groups down the street, or simply cleaning out their kitchen drawers. The Spirit, she moves. This is the second Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost, so crucial to the church's formation in that our liturgical calendar that we follow, we celebrate this moment in time until the reign of Christ on Sunday on November 21st, right before Advent. So every Sunday is the next Sunday after Pentecost, after Pentecost, after Pentecost. We never forget that this is the time of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. Listen for the Spirit's interaction as I read to you from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34. I'm reading from a translation by a rabbinical scholar, Robert Alter, who translated the scriptures in a new way in the early 2000s. How many your deeds, O Lord, all of them you do in wisdom. All the earth is filled with your riches, your acquisitions. This sea, great and wide, where creatures beyond number stir, the little beasts and large. There the ships go, this Leviathan you fashioned to play with. All of them look to you to give them their food in its season. When you give them, they gather it in. When you open your hand, they are sated with good. When you hide your face, they panic. You withdraw their breath, the spirit, and they perish. To the dust they return. When you send forth your breath, your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the Lord's glory be forever. May the Lord rejoice in God's work. Who but looks down to earth and it trembles, but touches the mountains they smoke? Let me sing to the Lord while I live. Let me hymn to my God while I breathe as long as I am. Let my speech be sweet unto God. As for me, I rejoice in the Lord. Words of wisdom, words of grace. Thanks be to God. This is a summary of how to praise God, even in joining God to jump into the praise. In Los Angeles, we know all about improv, don't we? Take a theme, play with it with others, taking the yes and approach to a suggestion originating from the audience and dropped into the sketch group, making it into a sketch or a small act, a construction new and never heard before. Los Angeles, even during the pandemic, found ways to perform, to keep safe, to create, just as Newhall Presbyterian Church did and have done with worship and study and mission activities. In this psalm, there is improvisation in play. The suggestion from the audience in Psalm 104 is creation as offered from Genesis 1 and 2. It is free form and crazed in the over-the-top view of our planet Earth. In this part of the psalm, the water, the great and wide sea, is considered in verse 25. About 5 months ago, I was getting ready to leave my eldest son's home from a very rare visit to be with that family. My granddaughter Alexis was 5. I had read a very long book, Tales from the Ant World by Edward O. Wilson, which I recommend, before the visit, and so had lots to share as we studied the outside ground. When I was getting ready to leave, she asked me to teach her, since I knew all about ants, all about spiders. Well, I had not spent much time studying about spiders, so I promised to study up for the next trip. She stated, "Grandma, study up too about monsters." When I asked her to narrow the research topic, she picked the Loch Ness Monster. That worked for me, as my brother lives in Scotland, and I had been on that very loch with my husband, his son, and wife. I asked her what she would work on. I should not be the only one studying up. And she said, "Well, Grandma, I am learning to read. That's what I'm doing." If anyone is interested, I did study up, and I do have a possible answer to this Loch Ness Monster situation. My son is a little skeptical, but it is a distinct possibility, so we could talk later. Verse 26 of this psalm speaks about the Leviathan. This large sea serpent is represented as a plaything or a toy for our Creator to use to bring a smile and a laugh to that special face. We all need toys, games, items to use to bring joy to our existence. No matter the age, we all must play. During the pandemic, the playthings were found in your shelter. The Long Beach Civic Center, which is housing children and youth who were detained at the border, asked people in the congregation and communities to bring in board games, cards, toys for their residents who might be with them for up to a month. This happened as people came in droves to respond to that need, to make each child smile, to make God smile. The Leviathan is just one example of the diversity of nature, of life written or sung about in this part of the Hebrew Scriptures. There is praise offered for the ecosystem that we are responsible for, not to dominate, but to share and learn from each part of life that has breath. Breath is listed as the force of creation. In verse 30, we heard or read, "When you send forth your breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." Breath is the quality of life that keeps us from death. We keep hearing in the news of the importance of oxygen in India, and had that same need in the United States in the early part of 2021. We all can remember that time. Without that chemical element, we die, and people have died due to the inability to obtain that gas. Bread making deals with gas, too. Fermentation is usually not desired, as it leads to spoilage. However, there are a few areas where it is critical, such as in the making of beer, wine, and bread. As many people turn to creating works of art from dough during the stay-at-home times of the pandemic, they learned all about this process. In fermenting grain, the leavening process occurs. Sugar is released from the flour, creating protein and starch. Such intense drama. As in Psalm 104, breath, oxygen is considered. In bread making, there comes a time in the plot when carbon dioxide becomes trapped in the gluten. Then what needs to occur is the most fun of creating a loaf: degassing, punching down the dough in a gentle or rough way. Some gas needs to remain for another fermentation process. Baker Professor Raymond Colvell says, "When you are degassing, to use an iron hand, be it in a velvet glove." Paradoxical in nature, mystical, magical. This congregation is becoming an expert in understanding the parables of Jesus. Week after week, you have considered the narratives, stories, sayings of Jesus. The prophet tries in many different ways to help us all understand about life and the triune God. This week, we are considering a one-verse parable in the Gospel of Matthew about bread making. Part of the wisdom literature, this is the third parable of seven in this chapter 13. This is a parable attributed to Jesus working hard to speak about the kingdom of heaven, a parable of growth and change, leading to a very positive outcome, taking care of many. It is about a very specific woman, not women in general. It's full of action, of drama, just as in bread making. Yeast in the Jewish tradition had a negative connotation, something that rises out of control, taking over. Jesus, as he often does, turns that notion on its head. This woman takes the leavening construct and adds to it. She changes it, adding 3 measures of flour, which is about 2/3 of a bushel. Nothing stops her. She adds and adds so much flour that she creates enough dough to feed 100 to 150 people. The verb for placing the yeast in the flour is very hard to translate exactly. One translation is to hide. The kingdom is hidden, quiet, only to be seen in completion, which will be revealed in the future. Just as making loaves of bread takes a very long, long time, the result is worth the wait. The flavor, the texture, the ability to sustain us in our daily life is priceless. The kingdom is present but not easily seen or experienced. The bread of life or the kingdom is created all thanks to one hard-working woman. In the Last Supper, Jesus was gathered with many. He was with his best friends, probably others from the community, perhaps some dogs, one who was ready to turn him in for money. When we celebrate this mandate to break the bread and share it throughout the world, we can remember the scene as one of people talking, chatting, animals barking, and uncomfortable messiness. He took this concept from the parable and created a sacrament, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the Last Supper, communion, the Holy Sacrament. He took this simple, basic, marvelous food that sustains residents of countries and continents far and wide and creates a way to be with him thanks to the Pentecostal Spirit. The extravagance of the creation of enough bread to feed a crowd by one woman is a foretelling of heaven. Simple ingredients, physics, science, enzymes, complex molecules turn into a concept of our future with the ever-creating, changing one in three. There will be enough space, love, care for all. God, as love, sustains us, as bread does in our daily life. Bread displayed, created, consumed, as corn tortillas, gluten-free, sourdough, rye, wheat, rice, buckwheat, pumpernickel, baguette, focaccia, pita, naan, corn, melon pan, mantou, or sesnica, all appreciated in the delight of God. Just as rummaging leads us to helping our community, so too does creating bread in the world. Jesus was brilliant, helping us to remember him and the love of God through an act so simple yet complex as the taking of a piece of bread and a sip of drink together around a table. Something basic, gathering, eating, drinking, meeting all around a central location, together, virtually the same. The extravagant love of the Holy One evidenced in our lives, evidenced today together. Thanks be to God. Amen.